That's probably way above a lot of people in here. Do what? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, I heard some amazing testimonies. God's good. He is good all the time. Hallelujah. He's here to set people free. John 10:10. Thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to have life, and not only life, but more abundantly. Hallelujah. So, not only have a smile, but a great big smile. Hallelujah. Your cup runneth over with blessings. Amen. We are going to continue talking about being redeemed from the curse tonight. We're going to continue breaking the power of curses in our lives. Anybody getting anything out of this so far? We're going to start in Galatians chapter 3. And I don't know where we're going to end up tonight, but we're going to start there. How's that sound? Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. Christianity is taught it is the great exchange. What that means is we are garbage. God takes our garbage, and we get the good stuff, right? So we don't have to live in shame anymore. We are redeemed from things, right? But the problem is we have to walk in those things. I always like to think of the gospel. The gospel is just like having a bank account full of money, but you don't know what the account number is. I mean, there's good things in the Bible, but if you don't know, it's kind of like this. You don't know what you don't know, right? And until you dive into the Word, until you begin to discover some of these things for yourself, my people perish for a lack of what?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. People just don't know, right? And so Galatians 3rd chapter 13 and 14 says, Christ has purchased our freedom. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Run around about 12 times. I mean, that is good. He's purchased our freedom. Most people do not understand that they are bound by sin until they take their last breath, step on the other side, and then it's too late. Christ has purchased our freedom, redeemed us from the curse or the doom of the law, and its condemnation by himself became a curse for us. He became a curse for us. He paid the price for what we've been talking about, Deuteronomy chapter 28. It is the blessings and cussings. It's the curses. In the Old Testament, it means if you do these things, these bad things are going to happen to you. But you know what? If you walk and you do what you're supposed to do, these blessings will come upon you. And we see here, curses everyone that hangs on a tree. Leviticus tells us that basically whoever's on a tree, that's cursed. It's a cursed action. Isaiah prophesied several hundred years before Christ was born. What was it, like 700 BC or 800 BC? And you look at the timing. The Bible is so supernatural. I'm telling you that right now. If you understand history, you're just like, that's incredible. Because do you realize the peak of the Roman Empire, meaning when they had consolidated all of their power, they were height of the power, was 9 years before Christ was born. Because the Roman Empire lasted 1,000 years. It was about, what would that be, 509, 492 BC to about 492 on the other end. So it was about 500 years, almost exact to the date, almost to the year when Christ was born. Why is that important? Because during that time period, man, I'm getting way off here, but the Bible talks about Christ came in the fulfillment of time. Well, fulfillment of time was it was all ready for him, Jesus, to show up on the earth. Now, why didn't Jesus just show up on the earth right when Adam and Eve sinned and then Jesus just popped out instead of Cain and Abel? Many people think they're twins. But instead of Cain and Abel, why didn't Jesus just pop out immediately? Because the Bible says he came in the fullness of time. And the important thing was that it's so, and we say God has his ways, right? He just has a perfect plan. Because guess what? If I would think about all this stuff and you would think about, we would come up with a plan to redeeming mankind from our sin, we'd screw it up, right? I mean, it'd just be messed up. But the really cool thing about when Christ came and he redeemed us from our sin, he was born 9 years at the pinnacle, right after the pinnacle of the Roman Empire. What the Roman Empire did, if you understand about the Roman Empire, the vast empire that they had conquered, it was from like parts of Egypt and the northern parts of Egypt, all the way up to Europe, and even into they had even gone into Germany, what is now today, and parts of England, and all the way into a lot of Asian countries. And this huge, huge network that the gospel could get out. Think about it. I remember I heard that old saying, like, all roads lead to Rome. That was talking about the Roman Empire that they had at that time. And so, basically, 9 years before Christ was born, there was a pinnacle. Again, the Roman Empire was almost 1,000 years where they reigned. That pinnacle was 9 years before Christ was born. And 9 years before Christ, so it was been about 9 BC, they had a meeting, the emperor and the Roman Empire. They came together and they declared it a time of peace 9 years before Christ was born. So you think about this. Yes, they occupied. Yes, they did things. But at that point, they had stopped conquering at that point. And it was a perfect platform for Christ and the disciples, because you got to realize the Apostle Paul's writings were about 3 years. He had three missionary journeys you study, and I'm way off tonight. But he had three missionary journeys, and those were all in the span of just a few years, 3 years. So can you imagine how fast they hit the ground running, and the apostles, and evangelized that whole area? Just within a few years, they had countries evangelized. And it's because Christ came at the fulfillment of time. It was the perfect timing for Christ to come. Remember Paul? He was talking. They were terrified because Paul was a Roman citizen, and they were beating him and in his writings, and they were panicked because they could have got the death penalty. What's that mean? That those who were Christians, who were Romans, had freedom to travel, and they had protection, like the Apostle Paul. He was a Roman citizen, had dual citizenship. He was a Jew, and he was also had Roman citizenship. So anyway, but Christ has redeemed us. That's when he redeemed us. God opened up the way for the gospel to spread like wildfire. And verse 14, to the end, through that they received Christ Jesus, the blessing promised, what? To Abraham, might come on the Gentiles, so that we through faith might all receive the realization, the promise of the Holy Spirit. That is a mouthful. So we're seeing here that Christ paid the price for us. We don't have to live under the curse. But guess what? The world doesn't know that for sure, and many Christians aren't living like it. See, the gates are open, but people aren't walking out. You know? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him thirsty. You can't make a horse drink, can you? You just can't do it. We have to choose. Choose to stay whom you serve, right? Christianity is a great exchange, like I just talked about. Christ took our curse in exchange for the blessing. So it's a done deal when we accept Christ, when we're born again, our new creature, our nature is changed. 2 Corinthians 5:17. We're now old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. And so with that, I will just say this in the church. I've said this about 1,000 times. Too many denominational churches will say that, yay, we celebrate when somebody gets born again. And we do. But you're going to have a struggle moving ahead, right? When Jesus became, we're going to look at that here in a moment. When Jesus became anointed with the Holy Ghost in Luke chapter 4, he had more problems than he did before. Because why? Because when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you are a born-again Christian, the devil wants to take you down. He's taken down those people in the world. And so you put a target on your back, but that's okay, right? And we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Now don't get all panicky and, oh, this is terrible, the devil's after me, right? I remember a lady one time, she gave a testimony, and she goes, Oh, the devil's been after me all week. Oh, bless his holy name. I'm like, okay, we kind of got our verbiage a little mixed up there, right? We understand that she had some problems, but the bless his holy name kind of got mixed up there. So we know those things, but we're, you know, so many people, the devil's after me, the devil's after me. No, we need to recognize his patterns and deal with them and move on. Mm-hmm. Amen? We don't need to buddy up with the devil. We don't need to be friends with him. We don't need to invite him over for supper. We need to deal with him, get him out of our lives and move on. And guess what? He's going to show up again. And you know what? When he shows up the next time, deal with him again. Yeah. Right? People panic and they fall apart when they're tempted again. They get born again and everything. And then what happens is the devil says, well, you're probably not born again. And the problem is it doesn't mean you weren't born again. But what it does mean, we're going to look at some scriptures, is the devil's going to come back to try to tempt you to pull you back into the same garbage you were in before. Mm-hmm. Well, I just don't believe in this, you know, these spirits and these devil things and everything. Really? Because they came knocking on Jesus' door. And if they came knocking on Jesus' door, you better believe they're going to come knocking on your door. Luke chapter 4, let's go there. Am I boring you tonight?
No.
All right, we're going to get into this. Luke chapter 4. And we're all going to see where Jesus dealt with spirits that we think sometimes are sicknesses and diseases, but they're not that at all. There's a spiritual problem, and sometimes we're missing that in the church. We're praying for people for sickness, and it's not sickness at all. It's masked and it looks like sickness, but it's not sickness. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned to Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Jesus was not led by the Spirit. He did not do any ministry. He didn't do anything until this moment, until the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him. And the devils recognized him because the anointing was on him. And they recognized him. Ooh, that's the Son of God. I recognize that anointing. I recognize that in him. And now he's getting targeted. We see here, verse 2, let's read that, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did not eat nothing, he ate nothing, and when they were ended afterwards, he was hungry. And I think I would be too, right? I've fasted for like 30 days before, and at the end of it, I was just, right? It was like more of a liquid diet. Verse 3, here we go. And the devil what? What's that next word? Said. So the devil's talking to Jesus, right? The devil tempted Jesus. He's going to tempt you. And don't fall apart if the devil comes knocking on your door. It's okay. We're going to deal with him, right? Like Brother Hagin says, you know, it's like anything else. A bird flies over your head, but you don't let him put a nest in your hair, right? Might be an improvement for me. You know, maybe a nest would look pretty good right there. Look at that guy. So the devil said to him, what did he say? If you will be the Son of God, command this stone to be made bread. Okay? Stay there for a moment. Look at James chapter 1. When you start tying all these things together, I don't have it right. I got to turn it manually here. James chapter 1. And look at verse 14. James chapter 1, verse 14. And James here is talking about temptation. But look at 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his what? Own lusts and enticed. The devil knows your vices and he's going to use them against you, right? What is Jesus dealing with here at the time? He's dealing with hunger. And what's he doing? He's trying to entice him with and the devil is a master of this. He knows legally what he can do to you if you let him. And also, too, he's there to come in at your weakest time. And what's he doing here? He's trying to entice Christ through his lust. What he's saying, and what is he at his weakest moment, right? You ever notice that? You know how many times I talk to people and Christians and stuff, and they get, you know, born again and everything, and then all of a sudden, you know, they're, you know, getting out of sin and doing these things, and they start feeling lonely and everything. What? And then guess what? The devil comes along, tempts them, right? The old boyfriend comes around, the old girlfriend comes around, the old drug dealer comes around, the buddies with the 12-pack, a case of beer or a keg of beer show up. I mean, everything comes up, right? And it's right here. You're enticed to your own lust, your vices, right? I mean, it could be anything. It could be eating. It could be drinking. It could be, you know, pornography. Every other thing under the sun. Could be. And guess what? Your weakest time, when you feel, the devil likes to show up at those times and tempt you in your own lust, the vice that, and then you think, what do you think? I'm backslid. Now, wait a minute here. Just because you're tempted doesn't mean you've done anything wrong yet, right? Because Jesus was tempted and he didn't sin. And Jesus answered and said, it is written, the man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Right? What is he saying? Bug off. I'm not listening to you. Right? Mm-hmm. I was listening to Derek Prince one time, and he was talking about this tribe of people. And he was I don't remember where he was at, but he was ministering to these people overseas somewhere, and they just accepted Christ right away. And he said, why did you receive Christ so fast? You know, he was doing some missions work. And they said, oh, well, our forefathers about 500 years ago had a man in white. They had a meeting, and the man in white showed up and said, love everybody as yourself, worship the Creator and His Son, and don't sin. And so, like, you just said everything that we've been believing for centuries. So again, we see here that Christ says the word of God, I'm not going to be submitted to my flesh, my temptation. Verse 6, the devil said to him again, this power I'll give you and the glory of them that is delivered unto me, and I'll give it to you. And then what's it say? Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. It's written, worship the Lord your God, and only him will you serve, right? So Jesus is still in the state of, you know, devil's trying to give him an easy ticket, right? Trying to give him that easy button. Give him that easy button. Get him some relief. Get him some, you know, get some kind of a release, right? I want to get my fix. I want to get an easy out. I want the easy way. I want the easy way. It makes me feel good. Then verse 9, what'd you do? If you are the Son of God, cast yourself down, and these angels are coming and save you, right? What's he trying to do? He's trying to test him. Well, you're supposed to be the Son of God, right? Because what is he doing? He's testing his flesh, and he's testing what? At this time, the Father is telling him his calling. And the Bible also says that he discovered himself, what? In the Word. So Jesus, just like us, is trying to confirm his identity. What does Jesus say? He understands his identity, but the Holy Spirit comes upon him. He is now empowered by the Holy Spirit. He's going forth. He is at his weakest moment now. The devil's trying to come in, swoop in. And what's the other time he was at his weakest point? On the cross, right? In the garden. When he's in the temple. He's being beaten. He's being tortured, right? And then in the morning, when the religious council comes up, then they take him and then they beat him. And that's where, you know, they beat him with the whip of nine tails, right? The cat of nine tails. They beat him and they beat him and they beat him. And guess what? He's vulnerable at that time, right? And then he's on the cross. And then what happens? Now he's got the devil. Now he's got his flesh. And now the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, leaves him. And he says, why have you forsaken me? Like, everything else isn't bothering Jesus. I'm sure it does, because he was a man. But when the Father left him, the presence left him, then he panicked, right? Why are you leaving me? What's going on here? Again, at a weak moment. What are they doing while Jesus is on the cross? Oh, if you're the Son of God, then call down angels and take yourself out of here, right? Tempting, weak point, trying to tempt him, trying to get him off the cross, trying to give up his calling, trying to question who he is, his identity, the whole time, right? These are evil spirits that are trying to work against him. Did Jesus sin? No. And just because you're tempted does not mean that you've sinned. You don't submit to it. People feel, I mean, of course it's not fun to be tempted, right? But guess what? If you don't do what Jesus does, he did, combat those words, right? Because like I said last week, if you hear dialogue, words like, you need to kill yourself, you should do this, right? You should just drink that. You should just take those drugs. When you hear dialogue, that's a demon, that's an enemy speaking to you to try to get you at your weakest point. So Jesus here says, nope, it is written, don't tempt the Lord your God, and then he left. Luke 13:11. We're going to get more into this. Are you bored tonight? Luke chapter 13. We always think that we're going to pray for somebody that has sickness or disease in their body, that it is just sickness and there's no spirits involved, right? I want you to look at Luke chapter 13, verse 11. And the testimonies we heard tonight are living proof. And I have other testimonies that I have as well. But we'll talk more about those. But Luke chapter 13, verse 11, this is the woman that was hunched over, right? And it says, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of what? And then it says, 18 years, and she was bowed together, and could not wise lift herself up. And so, here we go. And Jesus saw her, and he called her to him and said, woman, I pray for healing immediately. It doesn't say that, does it, right? Because, I mean, the Bible talks about, you know, he went about healing all that were oppressed of the devil, right? And then other places in which I don't have time tonight. I can't go there tonight. We're going to get into it. But he also says things that he says that any specifically says that he went and healed all those who were demon possessed, right? Now, I'm not saying they were demon possessed, but the word, you look at that Greek word there, and it refers to an oppression or a spirit, right? So I believe a lot of people aren't necessarily, you know, demon possessed. We're not, I mean, some people are. But what we're saying is sometimes there's a spirit involved that is demonic that's hindering people. So we see, and then it says, what's he say? He says, woman, thou art loose from thine what? Infirmity. He never used sickness here, did he? So this lady had some kind of a twisted arthritis thing that she couldn't bend up, right? Or she couldn't stand up straight. And what does the Bible call it? It calls it a spirit, what? A spirit of infirmity, doesn't it? It does not call it a sickness. There is some demonic evil presence that has had this lady in a pretzel, and she can't walk. And Jesus doesn't say, oh, you're healed, let me pray for healing, let's anoint you for oil. Now, there's a time for that, and that is biblical. But what does he say here? He says, you're free or loosed, so that means something's bound her, right? You're free from your infirmity. Again, there's a spirit involved here. And he laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and what? Glorified God. So the woman had some kind of an arthritis. And again, it appeared to be, and again, doctors will probably, I don't know, I'm not a medical person, but they probably diagnosed her as some kind of arthritis or some kind of a, you know, I don't know, spine or something like that. There's a name for it probably they come up with. We call it that, but in the spirit realm, it's a spirit that's attacking someone. Sometimes we are dealing with a spirit and not an illness, or we're not dealing with a disease. It masks, it looks like something, it is something, right? I remember one time, I've seen things on people where I'm praying for people and I see things in the spirit. and I see entities on things, and you know what? The big thing that I see that either that thing leaves people or not is whether they want it to leave. I've prayed for people, and I've seen things in the Spirit. I won't describe it because, again, we got kids here, and so. But I've seen things in the Spirit, and have interactions with these things in the Spirit realm when I'm praying for people, and you know, and I know I can't command them to leave because they don't want it to go. I've seen the spirit of anxiety and depression and suicide on people when I'm praying for people. I don't talk about those things, but I can see it in the spirit realm. I'll see entities on people if there's a spirit involved sometimes, right? And so sometimes when you pray or tell people, they don't believe you, or they kind of like to feel like, you know, feel that drama and that tension in their life instead of being set free from it. I think it's weird and sick, but whatever. I mean, some people are, right? Some people like that stuff, right? You ever those people, like, you know, have you ever worked for people and everything? How's it going? It's just awful, you know. This is awful. How's everything going? I don't know. I probably got some, you know, new disease or something. I don't know. Like they're always like sick and always something. And it's like, well, first of all, don't speak that thing on yourself, right? But some people just like that all the time, you know? And you know, when I've gone to the office or worked with people before, hey, how's it going? You know, I'm trying to be upbeat. Hey, it's good to see you, blah, blah, blah. I got to tell you, you know? So they like that negative attention, you know? Right? Always like that drama, that storyline, you know? I got to tell you something. They always got the big wow or, you know, something's going on in their life. And so some people, they like that attention. Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse, or Matthew chapter 12, I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43. I remember one time my pastor, this years ago, Adrian and I, we just started going to church about a year or so, we just started doing leadership stuff, and he's like, well, he called me up, there were some people coming to our church and everything, and he's like, of course, I never really dealt. I mean, I'd seen things, you know, but I mean, I hadn't really dealt with any like this before. And he calls me up. Or no, we were sitting there at the church one time, and we were just talking. He goes, "Hey, you know, so and so is over here, and they got some paranormal activity in their house. They have some stuff floating around in their house and everything. Let's go over there and pray for them. Let's go to the house." I'm like, "So what do? You're like, no." You know? I don't want to be like a big chicken, you know? And I'm like, oh, yeah, let's go. After you. You first, you know, and everything. So, but, you know, when you show up and you pray, you know, you can sense things, but it's like, you know what? They left. And he was set free, you know? So, you know, there are things in life where it's just, you know, you see things and it's like, anyway, I mean, to me, that stuff, you know, I've dealt with people that are demon-possessed before and everything else, too, and all kinds of crazy stuff, and, you know, overseas in Africa and everything else, too, and it's like, you start reading the Word, you're like, man, that is so pathetic. It's like having your little toddler throw a fit. It's like, you're going to do what we tell you to. It's just, we can either do this the easy way or we can do it the hard way. Right? Amen. It may take a little while, but you're going to come out if that person wants, and we're going to deal with you. So, Matthew chapter 12, verse 43, and it says, when an evil spirit leaves a person. Got that? Some people, they're dealing with things in their life, and it's a harassing spirit. It's something that's going to harasses you. You know, what's the Bible talk? We just read a spirit of infirmity, right? There's also a spirit of fear, right? The Bible discusses different spirits. They're different entities. When a spirit, evil spirit, leaves a person, it goes into the desert and seeks rest, but finding none. Then it says, I will return to that person that I came from. This is Jesus speaking. So it returns and finds its former home empty, swept, and in order, right? Then the spirit finds seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they all enter the person and live there. And so that person is worse off than before. That will be the experience of this evil generation. And Jesus is talking about that. And what this means is this. We're going to talk about spiritual warfare. I don't know if we're going to get there tonight. But first of all, this is where a lot of new Christians, when I pray for new Christians and I pray for people and we get people born again, I said, okay, brace yourself, all right? Because I'm not one of those people that goes around and sugarcoats things and you're just the cutest little pumpkin pie ever. I love you, sweetie pie. Mwah, mwah, mwah. I do love people, but it's not going to help, right? Right? It's like we're at home with the girls and everything. You put a Band-Aid on. Okay, Dad's going to count to three and then we're going to rip it off. Okay, ready? One. That's me, all right? Because at my house, they're like, Dad, I don't trust you. I don't trust you. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't trust me either. But okay, here, we're going to count. Ready? One, two, three. I said one, two, three. But what is Jesus saying here? He's saying this. Guess what? When you get cleaned up, you got to stay cleaned up. And this is where people will come back and say, well, that Christian stuff doesn't work. Well, I got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I still have these things that I'm dealing with. And I'm not, right? No, the power is the power to be delivered and be saved and live righteous. It is there. It's in you. It's upon you. But it's whether you choose to submit to it or not, right? Hello? I mean, Adrian and I got married. I did not want to play on the road anymore, right? And I didn't want to, you know, play in bars and do things and travel and everything else too. And, I just remember my last time with this band, I was in Illinois somewhere, and it was just bad. I mean, there was all kinds of junk going on, and I saw something, this things in the spirit realm, all this other stuff happened. Anyway, but I know we got married. I'm like, I don't want that anymore. And then guess what? People started calling me up and stopping by and doing this, and hey, we need you to do this, and hey, we need you to do this, right? No. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Devil doesn't like when you say no. And so the enemy will come back when you get delivered, right? He's going to come back and tempt you. So again, when you're delivered from, let's say, for addiction for a while, the enemy's going to come back and test you. We just read that. Then you feel, you know, backslid. You know, people, again, like I said earlier, you're going to feel backslid and terrible and awful and condemned. And the devil is going to bring you condemnation and say, oh, you dirty dog. What do you do? Why are you thinking that? Because he's putting those thoughts in your head. You know, and then, you know, sometimes it's like this. The biggest fight for new Christians is there at the beginning, right? Because we just read in James chapter 1, verse 14, you're enticed by your lusts. Guess what? I don't have lust for alcohol anymore, right? So that's not a thing anymore. But guess what? In the early days, you come back and say, you probably could use a beer, you know? Probably be a good idea maybe pick up a fifth of Jack, right? Maybe you should do that. Maybe you should do this. Maybe you should. It doesn't work anymore, right? Because why? Because I wear the devil down, right? See, you wear the devil down. He quit. He's a quitter. That's part of his nature, is a quitter. When you're a Christian and you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you say no enough, he'll leave. Guess what happened to Jesus? Jesus kept saying no enough, and then what happened in Luke chapter 4? He left what? For a season. Say no. Say no. Say no. Say no. I don't drink. I don't spend time with those people, with that type of people anymore. Now, of course, I talk to everybody, but we're not hanging out and being buddy buddy and doing those things, because guess what? You're either going to come my way, I still love you, I still want to, or we can't move forward in a relationship like this. So again, often living under the curse is, let's just say this, it's just continue to live under the curse and never getting out of it. It's just living with no self-control, right? That's really what it is. I mean, the whole satanic Bible is do as one pleases. No self-control. Say what you want to do. Do what you want to do, you know. So again, freedom and blessing is all about being disciplined. If you're going to be blessed, really the Bible just talks about is have control of yourself with the power of the Holy Spirit. And obviously we see in the Bible, it's not always popular. It's not always a good fanfare. And guess what? The devil brings along, not only speaks to you, but he'll bring people along to tempt you, right? To put things in your head, to try to draw you back. Ephesians 6 chapter, verse 11. We'll finish with this tonight. Maybe we can finish up tonight. This portion. Are you getting anything out of this tonight? You can be delivered from this stuff. I wouldn't say Christians are necessarily demon-possessed, but I think a lot of Christians are demon-oppressed. Yeah. What that means is their spirits are harassing you about things, condemning you, beating you up, and you can have victory over it. You can have victory over it. Ephesians 6, 11 through 18. Now, before I read this, I want to reiterate again. The Bible, especially in the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul and the other writers in the New Testament, they are writing these things to Christians. Do you understand? Everybody's like, well, once saved, always saved. Well, really, how do you explain Galatians, like the fifth chapter? Right? The works of the flesh and the fruits of the Spirit, you know? Talking about, at the end of that, you know, talking about the works of the flesh. Oh, by the way, those who practice these things won't inherit the kingdom of God, right? Oh, yeah, we forgot about that. And then we forgot about, you know, all these things about controlling yourself, Romans 12, chapter 1 through 3, you know, renewing your mind, keeping your body under control, all these other things. And again, you can be empowered with the Holy Spirit. That's the main thing. That's very important, is we need to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to live righteous under God with His power, His word in us. It's a joy walking it out. But when you're trying to do it apart from Him, then it's flesh and then it works. And it's difficult, right? Doesn't think any of this is going to be easy because, you know, a lot before, you know, Adrian and I were, it's so funny how it took quite a while for people to understand that it was like, you know what? Of course, we were going to church on Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning came, we were going to church, you know? And then people, family members and different things like, hey, we're doing this Sunday morning. I was like, no. And I just don't understand. It's like, there's some slow learners in my family. Our family is like, I didn't quite get it. I don't know how long it's going to take. It's like, we're going to church. Like, I don't understand this. It's not that hard. Sunday morning rolls around, we're going to church, right? But then somehow it's like, they kept thinking it's still negotiable, right? And what happens, you just wear people, they'll understand, right? They'll laugh at you, and all of a sudden something happens, and it's like, they call you for prayer, right? They call you for help. And that's okay. We're here to help people and dust them off and pray for healing or whatever. But it says, verse 6, chapter 6, verse 11, it says, put on the what? The whole armor of God. Now, wait a minute. Why do we need to put on armor? If I'm born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit, I should just have everything I need, right? I mean, everything should just be just popping off me like little, you know. I should just, you know, feel like Mickey Mouse, and who's his little girlfriend? Minnie Mouse, yeah. I should just feel like Minnie Mouse. Everything's just happy, right? I'm just wonderful. Everything's wonderful. But really, we got to engage in the spirit realm, don't we? And we need to put on the armor of God. Why? Because we're going to get attacked. Oh, that's a bad confession, Pastor. It's just, you know, the whole thing of it is, it's kind of like this. When, if you ever played sports or anything else too, and, you know, coach softball, I've coached, you know, what, two number of years for the girls and different things and everything else too. You know, when you got a batter up there that's batting and you got kids that are doing this trick, you're like, hey, look out. we're spacing off, right? We're not engaged in anything. What happens? You get hit with a ball. Right? I mean, something can happen. And you're just not engaged. You're not paying attention. And again, that's where the devil can come in. And, you know, if you're not paying attention or engaged or intentional, Because guess what? You know, I always found out crazy people in my life, they just kind of come along at the most inopportune time, you know, or weird stuff happens. It's not like scheduled in. It's like the most, you know, like I'm busy doing things, right? Or, you know, or what have you. And then all of a sudden I get some weird thing happen. And it goes on, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to what? Stand against the wiles of the devil. What is Apostle Paul telling those people at Ephesus? Guess what? Trouble's coming. Buckle up, buddy. Oh, just you're making me feel like, you know, anxiety and all these problems and everything. No, I'm not saying that, we got to just be paranoid with our life. But what it means is this, is just be like this. When something happens, just be ready, okay? And use the word of God moving forward. And the holy, and just pray things out. And then verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, right? This is a problem too many Christians think is just because, well, that's that person and that person and that person. There are many times that, you know, sometimes that, you know, guys, your wives will say something like, how do I look in this dress, you know? Right? No, you never had that happen? Just me? Right? Or the girls will be saying something like, Dad, what do you think of this? Well, they usually tell me what they think of my outfit all the time. I got like four wives at home, right? Adrian and then three mini, like in training, you know? So, you know, they're always like, I always get the whole like, Dad, are you going to wear that? I'm like, well, apparently not. I guess not. You know, then I get, you've turned into your mother. But, you know, there's those times where, you know, that communication kicks in. And I'll be doing something, you know, or whatever, and blah, blah, blah. And be like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then, like, Dad, you're not even looking. Now, I didn't say anything bad, right? But the communication was not real clear. And so we're dealing with the flesh, right? A lot. Where, you know, I'll say something, it's like, Dad, I can't take you serious. Or, you know, that happens around my house too sometimes. So, why? Because they have a mindset of, I can say something, but it's clouded with my personality and their experience with me. And so we're dealing with, we don't deal sometimes with flesh and blood, do we? Right? There's other meanings, there's other, you know, what we call, you know, interpersonal communication. Yep, interpersonal communication is just basically how do you process things. And sometimes there's these little enemies that come in and try to twist things around, right? That's where, you know, you'll get into, you'll have a bad day, and, you know, you get home, and then it's like, okay, you know, you got to work late, and then you got there, and then something went wrong, and, you know, you have clients or customers or something, something just gets backwards, and, you know, whatever. And then, you know, lunch was lousy at work, and then you get stuck, and then you have to stay late, and blah, 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 and then you get home, and then, the you know, the kids are this and that, and everything's just a wreck, and all of a sudden, you get home, supper's not made, or, you know, something's a mess, and you got to fix something, right? And what do? You blow your stack. You think that time period when you get home, that's just kind of coincidental? No, because you're at the most vulnerable time, and the enemy just wants to come in and pounce on that. And we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but again, what? We're wrestling against principalities and powers and rulers in darkness, right? Because what he's wanting to do is he's wanting to take something that's been building up all day, and then right when you get all, you know, everything at a point, you just had it, and he wants to turn that argument into, you know what? I don't want to live here anymore. Ugh. I mean, the escalation, right? It's the enemy is wanting to take something that has nothing to do with anybody in your household or for example, and take it to the point where it's absolutely erupts and there's just, do you see what I'm saying? The enemy can jump on you again at the most vulnerable time when you're angry or frustrated or, you know, working on a car and you bust your knuckles. He's like, in the name of, wow, blah, 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 blah. Oh, working along there. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. verse 12. For again, we're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against rulers of the darkness of this world and against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand to withstand what? In the evil day, and having done all to stand, right? Stand up to that thing in the evil day. That doesn't mean every day, all the time, everything's going to be awful bad, but there are going to be situations come along. Verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having the breastplate of righteousness, right? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, take the shield of faith, wherefore you shall be able to what? Quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Stop here for a moment and we'll close. The fiery darts of the wicked. What's your shield of faith? It is to defend against thoughts. It is to defend against, you know, offenses. Suggestions, situation, anything the devil is going to try to use to get to you, to break you down, to try to get you off. That shield of faith is, you know what? I'm able to do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You take that shield of faith and you say, my God will supply all my needs according to riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Amen? I am the head and not the tail. I am blessed. You use the word, you is the sword, we see in the sword, but that shield of faith, it is anchored on the word and it defends ourself from the enemy. You know, thoughts all the time about, you know, sometimes the enemy tries to come against me and I'm like, oh, shut up. Sometimes I'll just laugh. The girls are always kind of like, you know, laughing. You're always laughing all the time. Well, I'm laughing because I'm joyful, and also I'm laughing at people. So, right? And you don't know which one I am. So I'm always, you know, laughing, you know. This is around my house. Well, I'm just not always like your dad. He's laughing all the time. You know, you just don't know what I'm laughing at. I'd be laughing than crying, right? Well, you might, you know what? The whole thing is you might as well have fun along the journey. I'm just saying that right now. I mean, whether it's, you know, kind of along or whatever, you might as well just laugh about it because guess what? It's going to change tomorrow. And then, you know, if you think about, oh, everything, we just hit rock bottom. Everything's awful. Everything's terrible. Guess what? If you're rock bottom, the only way is what? Up is going to get better from here, right? So you might as well just laugh and have joy about it. Remember Brother Hagin having a, you know, talking about going down the road and his, you know, he was on the road traveling as a minister and he'd have four bald tires and he'd be in Texas somewhere and he said, I drive at night because, you know, the roads get too hot. Of course, Texas, whew, summertime. Yeah, that's brutal. But so we're, you know, talking about fiery darts. But, you know, going down the road there and he'd hear these tires going, you know, what are you going to do? 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 And then he goes, then the other three would join in, right? And he'd laugh. You know, what did he stand on? My God will supply all of my needs according to riches and glory. The Bible also talks about a spirit of poverty, right? So there's a spirit of poverty that comes against people. And guess what? We need to rebuke those things. We're going to talk more about that next week. Amen? Breaking through some of these things. But one of the things, too, is the Bible talks about, but even as a little kid, you know, it's always good to know. You have to know who your enemy is, right? Stranger danger, remember that? Mm-hmm. Those little kids, you know who's safe and who's not. Too many times in Christianity, and especially the world, we're buddying up with people and things and entities that we have no business being involved in. The Bible talks about having, you know, loving the world and not him. And so we'll get more into those things, so. Are you bored yet? I'm sorry. This is good stuff because it's not mine. I just plagiarize. So, you know, when I was in college, it was like, you can't plagiarize. When it comes to preaching and Christianity, God's like, please plagiarize. So plagiarize is good. God's like, please say what I say. There we go. That's right. Just copy everything. Do it all, right? Just copy everything. So, amen. Father, we thank you so much tonight. I thank you for these people. I thank you for your word, freedom in the name of Jesus tonight. We just bind every spirit that's hindering people, their thinking, anything that would try to come against them. Father, we just pray tonight. I pray everyone is free in the name of Jesus. And Father, we thank you that this week we're going to experience freedom. We're going to see the enemy when he pops his head up, and we're going to deal with it and rebuke it. In the name of Jesus, we give you glory in your name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, have a great week, everybody.